I always wanted to do that. So once again, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here. It truly is. Ginger apologizes for not being here this morning. She's kind of down in her back, and I'll have to leave straight from here and go back to Knoxville to run some sound equipment. And the two services and the traveling would have been a little much for her this week. She ended up missing some work from her back. So she is taking it easy, and I'm flying solo today. So we'll go ahead and begin. Brethren, have you ever looked through a microscope? Maybe sometime in high school or college or junior high or something like that, you were in a class, a science class maybe, where you looked through a microscope, maybe at a drop of pond water or something like that, to watch the little microorganisms swim around, or maybe even the tap water. Sometimes you get a chance to look at that through a microscope, and it can be kind of scary. You know, but a microscope will allow you to see things like that, see things in the water. So to ask and answer a question, what does a microscope do? A microscope magnifies something that is typically too intricate to see, you know, with the naked eye, with the human eye, something that is so intricate, so small or so in-depth that you have to have something else to use to actually see it. And that's what a microscope does. It allows us to look deep into something, visualizing its very core. On the opposite end of a microscope, we also have a telescope, right? Has anyone here ever looked through a telescope? No one? Maybe? Somebody? A couple people? Yeah. You know, a telescope, as I said, is the opposite end of that spectrum. I know quite a few years back, back in a different organization, you know, there was a very large youth group in Cincinnati, which was known as the YOU. You know, we had the opportunity in Cincinnati to go to the Cincinnati Observatory and look through the microscope or look through the telescope that they have there. And at the time, I guess it would still be true, it was the first telescope put into public use in the nation. And it was around like 1845 that this telescope was put in operation for public viewing. And this telescope had an 11-inch refractor. So basically the size of a dinner plate or so, 11-inch refractor that would allow you to see. In comparison to that, I'm sure you've all heard of the Hubble telescope. Hubble telescope uses mirrors, not so much a glass lens, but mirrors. And the size of its primary mirror is 94.5 inches, as opposed to the 11-inch one in Cincinnati. But both telescopes virtually do the same thing, right? A telescope has a similar function, of course, to a microscope. A telescope takes an object that is too large, too distant, too vast, and allows us to see it much more clearly. You know, the most common use for a telescope, obviously, if whether it's a small one set up in your backyard or the one in Cincinnati or the Hubble telescope, the purpose of them is to look out into the universe and see what's out there, to bring in things that there's no way we could possibly see without the magnifying ability of that telescope. So there again, like I said, the telescope does the same thing a magnifying scope does. It brings something into view that there's no way humanly that we'd be able to do it on our own. So what is the point? What is the point of this little science lesson that I just gave you? Well, in the same manner that we use a microscope, in the same manner that we use a telescope, we too can magnify God. We too can magnify God. A microscope and a telescope is used to magnify, right? It's used to magnify something minute, and it's used to magnify something so far away that we can't see it, but both are being magnified so that we can see it. You know? In this same manner, we can also, as I said, magnify God. So in this message, we're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on magnifying God in this message. we're going to look at three aspects of magnifying God. We're going to see how the Holy Spirit relates to magnifying God. We're going to see how our calling, our personal calling, affects our ability to magnify God. And we're going to see how magnifying God relates to the world around us. And with this, we're going to bring the literal translation of the Greek and Hebrew words for magnify into play. So just as they're translated, magnify, you know, as you would think of magnifying something small or something distant, that's how we're going to relate it. So we'll go ahead and begin in the book of Acts. So if you'd like to turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we are going to pick this up in verse 43, beginning in verse 43. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And while Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Cannot anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So the Greek word being used here, being translated magnify, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it. I can spell it for you. It's M-A-G-A-L-Y-N-O, is also translated throughout Scripture as enlarge or show great. So when the Scripture here says, and they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God, it's saying they heard him enlarge God or show God's greatness. So we see here in this passage, Peter, obviously, as it says, is magnifying God. Peter is making God and his greatness known to the Jews that are present, to the Gentiles also. And by the Spirit of God, by God's Holy Spirit, as it just tells us, those who were present were able to see God in a different light. They were able to have God revealed to them because of that Holy Spirit. They were able to understand God for the first time. You know, the presence of God's Holy Spirit allowed the assembly to see those intricate details of God's holy word, of what was being spoken to them. You know, God's laws and God's statutes and his commands were all magnified. You know, they were made clear because of what was being spoken to them, because the Holy Spirit had descended upon them, allowed them to be able to understand. You know, and the same is true, of course, as we know for us here today. We're able to magnify, to dig into the deep things of God's holy word because of God's Holy Spirit. You know, this was a similar use to the microscope, right? The intricate details of the Father was revealed. You know, those hearing Peter speak through the power of the Holy Spirit were given that deeper understanding of God's holy word. You know, like I said, as we know, when God's Holy Spirit opens our eyes, God can be and will be magnified to us. So this brings us to the second point then. You know, we see here that the first point is God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is used to magnify. So the second point is, okay, how does our calling affect our ability to magnify God? Well, brethren, right now, every one of us sitting here, every one of us each and every day, is being shown God's way. We're being given the ability to see God and God's plan for all mankind and for ourselves due to specifically being called by God. Without that calling, without God reaching out to us and pulling us in and us being baptized and receiving God's Holy Spirit, there's no way we could truly magnify God the way that those with Peter that day were being magnified. We're magnifying God. Of course, we see proof of this in Scripture. We see this in Matthew chapter 13. So if you'd like to turn there with me. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll just read two verses here, verses 10 and 11. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." We are being shown the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. You know, those called are being shown the secrets of God's heaven, not the entire world at this time, obviously. You know, our calling gives us special access to God's Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, we can look out at this incredible plan that began long before the earth was even created, long before man was formed, long before, you know, even time itself really existed. This plan existed. We look at this plan from the beginning of time all the way up through the future, up until, you know, Christ on earth and his sacrifice and his resurrection, and on through the future of the church now, and on to the future of what the kingdom will hold for us. You know, all of that is being magnified to us, you know, because of our calling, because God has shown us this plan and allowed us to understand what it means. You know, we're able to see all of the endless glory and actually have some type of understanding, you know, of what it means. You know, we can, so to magnify God in this instance, of seeing this huge plan, of seeing everything out there that's around us, to us, because of our calling, it's like looking through that telescope, right? It's not just looking at the intricate little details of God's laws and God's commands, but it's looking at the huge plan of the world around us. So this is our telescope that we're using. You know, God's plan is vast, just like the heavens that are being revealed to us are vast. But if we don't have that calling, then obviously our eyes would not have been open to be able to even see it. Our calling provides that telescope that allows us to narrow in on what God has given us. We're able to bring different parts of God's plan into view. We're able to see what our plan is in the future, what our job and our goals are in the future. We're able to see this because God has allowed us to pull in that vastness of his plan. So God's calling, like I said, is that telescope that allows us to draw in the things of God, allows us to see the complete magnificence around us, not just understanding the laws, not just understanding the commandments, but the entire vastness of God. So then that'll bring us to our third question. Well, how does magnifying God relate to the world? When Matthew 13, we already see that the entire world obviously is not given that understanding yet. Well, we'll answer that question. We know, all of us in here know, you know, because we've taken the opportunity to magnify God, you know, with that telescope and with that microscope, seeing deep and seeing vast, we know that the entire world will have an opportunity to understand God. So who, brethren, then, will show God's greatness to the world? Who, then, will magnify God to the world? Well, Scripture gives us that answer also. If you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38, and we'll look at one verse, Ezekiel 38 and verse 23. Ezekiel 38, verse 23. Now, the King James Version puts it this way. Thus I will magnify myself. Now, other uses of magnify here are make large or bring out. Thus I will make large myself, or thus I will bring out myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. The English Standard Version puts it this way, which I really like the way it translates it. It says, I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. So there again, magnify in the Greek at this time means the same thing it did in the Hebrew, to show my greatness. I will show my greatness and my holiness. So obviously, God gives us the answer right here. Our Father will magnify himself to the entire world. He will show his greatness and his holiness. He will make himself known. So in the scripture, God is clearly telling us that magnifying himself is to show his greatness and to give the entire world that in-depth, intricate knowledge, like looking through that microscope, and to also show the world his magnificence, this entire plan that he has for us and has for them and has for everyone, an all-encompassing plan for all eternity, just like looking through that telescope. The ability to magnify God is not reserved just for those he's called today. The entire world will have an opportunity to see God, because he tells us that he will magnify himself to all nations. So, brethren, when we think about the phrase magnify God, it helps to think of the two different instruments that we personally use to magnify. The microscope, used to look into the smallest, most intricate places. You know, we use this to reveal God's laws and God's statutes and God's commands, and to show us the examples of Jesus Christ and the examples of the prophets before him. And we also use the telescope. We use the telescope to bring in the endless expanses of God's plan. You know, we draw into our vision and pinpoint the things of importance. You know, we gain a better understanding of where we're headed, you know, where we're going, what our purpose is here as God's church now, and what our purpose will be in the future. We see this vast plan before us, and we're able to draw it in. That's our telescope. You know, both of these instruments are, of course, guided by some type of lens, which in our case, as we just read, is the gift of our calling and the use of God's Holy Spirit. So, brethren, it's our challenge, and it's our requirement then that we must magnify God. We must use these instruments. We must look deep into God's holy word and look out vastly at God's plan. And you know, and we need to do this in detail, you know, reflecting upon our calling, which gives us the ability to do it, and using God's Holy Spirit that will open up our eyes to see everything out there for us.